The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. It's Sunday. Welcome. I'm glad you're joining us. You're listening to We the People Radio at KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, 8 to 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, we are all about limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. And our topics always revolve around your individual rights given to you by God.
We should call our show Crazy Talk.
Yeah.
Because that's just crazy talk now.
Yeah, and, you know, to all the friends that I reconnected with last night who might be tuning in this morning, I hope you enjoy the show. You're joining Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and our great music master, Bob Martin. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, ladies.
Great.
Bob's more than the music master. Bob's got a lot of buttons over there. Bob knows how to run all the stuff we can't touch.
Yeah. Bob even figured out how to manually reset the computer for standard time this morning.
Oh.
I was driving in at 7:05 and heard the Tea Party theme come on the radio.
You're like, uh-oh,
it thinks it's 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I wondered about that. I didn't know it was daylight savings time.
That's everybody's nightmare, that they're going to forget to turn their clocks back. But, you know, you only blow it one morning. Then everybody calls you and emails you and leaves messages on your machine, and you fix it and you move on.
No, I grew up with a gal whose dad was an engineer, and he hated daylight savings time. He refused to adjust by an hour. He felt that was too much to ask. So he would only adjust 15 minutes every day until he was 4 days into it and 4 days out of it for daylight savings time.
What an interesting individual.
Yeah, so everybody who knew him was like, oh, he's going to be 45 minutes late today because, you know.
So anyway, if you want to give us a call today, we've got two great guests. The number is 530-605-4567, and we are streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us. That will take you directly to our media page. You'll find out all the information about our guests today, previous shows. Every show that we've had for over a year is archived on that media page. You can click on any one of those links if there's a topic that is of interest to you or maybe of interest to someone you know, and you can email it straight out. So there's no excuse for not sending this information far and wide. We make that very easy and very accessible for you.
It's a good way for everybody to get smart on, really, on things that you can't always have in your own town. You know, sometimes if you have to wait until it comes on, has to come on the news, you could wait a long time.
Yeah.
So we try to do stuff that you probably won't see on the news or hear on the news, but things you can verify.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that are out there thinking, well, why don't they do a program on, you know, whatever, you need to let us know. You can email, I do that part, so you can email me, Erin, E-R-I-N, at wethepeopleradio.us.
And we also, you know, we're a volunteer situation here, so we do have fees and such that we have to pay every month. So if you believe in what we're doing and you want to help sponsor the show, just email me, Elizabeth, at wethepeopleradio.us.
Yeah, do that first.
Yeah,
then email me about programs, because really that's paramount.
Yeah.
So. We don't get paid to do this. This is a volunteer gig, and anything you donate above and beyond the bill we have at the radio station will go to fund the other, you know, the other volunteer efforts that are going on through the Tea Party. It's a nonprofit thing. Hey, we can even explain to you how you can write that off on your taxes.
And just so you know, we all spend quite a bit of time involved in our local public meetings, which usually transcend into regional, state, and national. So, you know, you hear it here first. I mean, like Aaron mentioned, things that you'll never hear in the mainstream media that we know may be coming down the pike that may affect you directly. We'll find out about it and we'll share with you.
There's a lot of stuff going on out there, just tons of it. And you know, most of it has to do with land use, but there are a lot of agencies involved in land use. When you start thinking about who controls or who has the ability to reach into your, I guess it sounds kind of gross, but reach into your septic system, or your well, or your house. Most people would say, well, you know, Nobody really. I mean, they would call me or they would send me a letter or I might have a fee to pay. No. It's more interesting than that. You have, you've got the Department of Water Resources who wants to manage septic systems along waterways just to make sure that your leach fields aren't interacting with streams and that. So it's only going to affect a few people. Seriously, people, if you believe that, you're definitely... You definitely need to switch Kool-Aids.
And a really important point brand. Is without water, you have nothing. Water is the most basic necessity of life. And the powers that be know that if they can control the water, they can control you. So never assume that water issues outside of your immediate world will not affect you. Assume that they will.
Well, water is your property rights. You how'd you like to sell a house that has no running water? Good luck. I mean, it just wouldn't happen. And so everyone, even if they live in the city, deals with water. If they get a hold of as much water as they would like and they control as much as they like, let me throw a few numbers at you. I was up again in Siskiyou County yesterday and the day before, actually. We were talking about their water master fees. And the water master is kind of like a water referee. He's up there. And just if there's some kind of an issue, you know, between landowners and between how much they're taking, he sort of keeps track of that stuff. Well, the state has been, quote unquote, subsidizing that for a while. And
that means you.
Yeah, but you've been subsidizing it. However, what have you really been subsidizing? Because what's been happening is Fish and Game has been having the water master do studies and stuff. They only irrigate 6 months out of the year, and it's only 1.5 positions that does that full-time for that valley. So you're looking at $100,000 maybe in flat cost on some of that. I realize there's some, I don't know if they have vehicles or whatever, but that service for that valley is going up to almost $700,000. It's gone from $160,000 to short of $700,000. So we have people out there that have, and this comes on their property taxes, which should run a chill up your spine. Here's this bill, this innocuous bill for the water master. Okay, whatever. $1,800 on a fairly good sized ranch. And that's pretty common. This year it's $11,500. I don't know anybody in this economy, I don't know anybody actually in any economy, who's ready to swing. Something like that.
And keep in mind that when these fees and fines and charges end up as a part of that piece of property, imagine what happens to the property value.
Well, there's that, but most of these people don't intend to leave. You know, they're not looking at it like, well, you know, they've been there for years. They might be third, fourth generation on that property. So they're not looking to leave. But now they're looking at, can they pay the bill? And if they can't pay the bill, they lose their land.
That's how easy it happens, folks.
And it's a slippery slope.
And as we hear about these things, we automatically assume that it's Congress, that we need to, you know, we need to clean house and vote better people in or smarter people or newer people. But what you don't realize is that those that are carrying out these dastardly deeds are unelected.
Yeah.
Agencies and bureaucracies, Fish and Game, Fish and Wildlife, the Water Board, these are all agencies that are not elected. You can't just vote them out of office.
It's one of those things that we're having a hard time figuring out how to help people up there. I mean, here their senator was up there yesterday, sitting down with them, trying to figure out what to do about it, but the fees are already on their property taxes. Because when the governor at the 11th hour, I mean, you know, this last budget we did in California was a nightmare until 2 in the morning or some ungodly hour. So they do that, and they at the very last, they what they call blue pencil, they run a blue line through that item, and bang, their whole world has changed. So now they're looking at, well, do we try to set up a thing through the county and have our water master thing done through the county? It's not a requirement, but it does kind of help keep things on an even keel. So some people want the service to continue, some people don't. And we're looking at it going, isn't there a way that we can at least make sure that the fees they pay are something that they're getting? Can you imagine, like, your water bill comes one day and all of a sudden it's gigantic? It's like, what's that? Oh, we gave everybody a raise.
Yeah, quadruples.
They can't do that.
Yeah. So, and I mean, imagine what it's like to have your water bill quadruple. How do you pay that?
Yeah, well, most of these are seven to eight times higher.
Jeez.
So, and it's pretty big money.
With no notification, no warning.
Well, they all knew it might be coming. You know, they've known this for a number of years. Hey, they might. See, what's happening, though, is Fish and Game has been putting a lot of their studies and stuff like that back on Department of Water Resources. So now the Water Master's job has grown, but not in direct proportion to what he does for the landowner. So he's providing kind of ancillary service to Fish and Game and some other agencies. So he's doing reports and all this stuff. Well, so it's kind of like pork. You know, we look at the bills in Congress. We're familiar with that. You know, they load this pork on these bills. It's like, how did a turtle tunnel get in a military appropriations bill? You know, how did that happen? So this is kind of like pork that's been added. And now all of a sudden the full weight of it is falling on the individuals, besides the fact that those water measures that are taken up here, you know, if we think about gravity, you know, runs downhill.
Right.
So as the water runs down toward the Delta and down into Southern California, it's all been metered, measured, and sent from here. But we pay the full burden of the bill. And those guys basically get the work done for free.
Wow.
So, interesting little, another little twist, yet one more thing. It's kind of like a big fire, you know. We got another log on there. We could pretty much stand a half mile away and still be warm at this point.
And we know how hard it is to, we know how hard it is to keep track of everything coming at you from all directions. That's why you need to tune in.
Yeah, because otherwise, if you don't tune in, you'll get behind.
We're doing a lot of the work for you.
Yeah, we got to wake up every day and just double check what's happened. Otherwise, we'll be missing a lot. So Bob's flashing us the high sign here. We're going to find out what sort of musical interlude he has. We'll be calling Stephen Greenhead on the phone because silly boy must be sleeping in. So
I could play some leftover over Halloween music if you'd prefer. Depends how spooky things get today.
He's always got that monster mash thing right under his.
he loves that.
Yeah, people like that, by the way. So we will be back with you in 2 minutes here at We the People Radio. Tune in online, wethepeopleradio.us, and join the chat. That's always a fun thing. We're here at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Its toll.
If you have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're joining us. Hope you grabbed a cup of coffee. You're settled in, and you're going to stick with us for the next couple of hours to get the truth. You're joining We the People Radio. Give us a call, 605-4567, or streaming live and chatting at wethepeopleradio.us. And I believe we have our first guest on the line.
We're calling him right now, but before we do that, I would like anybody within the listening audience, and we're going to post this on the page for today, even though it's I will say it's off topic, but it's in the thread that we carry. The topic on the Reading, if you go to Reading.com, actually, it's in the Record Searchlight today. It says, Siskiyou Sheriff's Life and Death Rhetoric Alarms Tribes and Environmental Groups. Now, this would be the sheriff that was on last week, Sheriff John Lopey from Siskiyou County. Please look at that, because it seems that Mr. Savalo, the reporter, who never contacted, I don't know, didn't contact me anyway.
I didn't talk to him.
Nope, didn't contact anybody else who organized the thing. Interesting. Oh, he's got these bold headlines in here. Oh, a potential for violence. Of course, he talks to the Karuk tribe members. Now, understand, none of them are landowners in that valley, really. Most of this comes from the Karuks that are outside the valley.
And if you are just tuning in, we are referencing an event that took place in Wairika about 3 weeks ago. Had about 800 people attend, eight sheriffs from Northern California, Southern Oregon counties that came together to talk about what the environmental issues have done to decimate their communities.
Yeah, here, how'd you like this quote from the Fish and Game guy? Responding to last month to a letter Lopi had sent demanding the agency coordinate with Siskiyou County officials, DFG Director Charlton Bonham bluntly rebuffed Lopi's legal assertions that the DFG has an obligation to consult with local officials on, quote, all programs, activities, and projects that could impact Siskiyou County's economy or social programs. Yeah, geez, how dare the sheriff tell Fish and Game that they have to work with him? How crazy is that?
And for those of you who are not aware of the term coordination, that is a legal term and a legal requirement for all of these agencies that they must coordinate with local governments.
Yeah, Bonham went on. This is who's running Fish and Game. The department must provide and preserve the fish and wildlife resources of the state for the benefit of all public and future generations. This requirement is reflected in numerous provisions embodied in the California Constitution, many statutory positions. Okay, so bottom line is the fish count more than the people, which is what we've said all along. And, well, I guess now we have our...
And just so you know, that the people in Siskiyou County are really fighting for their very lives and their livelihoods because they're going after their water rights. And that is what this whole entire issue is about. And these agencies have stated that if this is successful in Siskiyou County, that they will start to head south.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this isn't the Department of Siskiyou County Fish and Game. This is the California Department of Fish and Game. So,
and so apparently our record searchlight, well,
yeah.
Need I say more?
In an attempt to be fair and balanced. You know, it's interesting because the prime picture, yeah, just look at the picture on the front page. It'll tell you kind of what they think. They pick a guy with a long braid and a big gray beard wearing a mossy oak hat, and the sheriff's kind of talking to him, looking all fired up. They didn't, you know, it's interesting, they didn't get any pictures of the, like, 800-plus people in the crowd. They left that out. So it makes it look like a small group of kind of crazy people.
Yeah, it was huge.
Our guest, Mr. Stephen Greenhut, was actually attending that event. See, watch that segue. See that segue right there?
Yeah, I like that. Very good.
Yeah, he was at that event. And
he is a columnist.
He is a columnist.
And an
wrote
author.
An awesome, awesome article about the event. So, hey, Mr. Greenhut.
Good that morning.
Now that we've taken you out of...
out of bed.
Yes.
And some of us are easily confused by time changes. And
yeah. No, it's okay. We're all easily confused by time changes. We just didn't have that option today.
So, Stephen, you should see the headlines in our local paper. And the reason that they put this article in is because we kind of lit a fire underneath them the last week or so because it got absolutely no coverage in our local paper.
Well, they did. They did print my column, the Record Searchlight.
Yeah, they did, and that was because they had a lot of people.
Well, everyone sent it to them.
Yeah,
everyone sent them the column, and so pretty soon they printed it. But did you find the sheriff to be a crazy radical starting an anarchy up there?
Well, you know, I
libertarian,
didn't
you?
Think that. I thought in some ways they didn't go far enough. Just in that, a point I made in the column. I mean, here we have these sheriffs complaining about federal intervention, but then on the medical marijuana thing, they're siding with the feds. And, you know, it's really about time that conservatives just stick up for, if you're going to be for states' rights, we're for states' rights, not just pick and choose the issues depending on whether, you know, they like the particular issue or not. And that's one of the reasons I think sometimes these rebellions don't go very far because they're just based on a bundle of issues that's not consistent.
Well, specifically as far as Sheriff Lopi, did you find his rhetoric to be, you know, incendiary and threatening? And, I mean, was he inciting people to violence?
No, of course not. I mean, and what's the role of the county sheriff is to uphold the rights of the people against, you know, enemies foreign and domestic. I mean, there were some tough words. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, I hadn't heard sheriffs talk that way for a while, and it's good, you know. But it was obviously they weren't inciting violence. They were standing up for the people in their communities who are, you know, we've become increasingly subject to these bureaucracies everywhere, and we have to. You know, we just have to myriad rules and regulations, and the far-off regulators don't seem to care about the locals, and I found it refreshing. I mean, that's the point I made in my column. I thought it was great that the sheriffs were talking about the Constitution, because quite frankly, I've written quite a bit about police issues, especially in Southern California, and the sheriffs there are not that interested in constitutional issues from what I found.
Now, so for those that are just tuning in for the first time or were not able to listen to the last time you were on our show, can you give a brief background about where you write, how you write, who you write for?
Oh, okay. I was a longtime columnist at the Orange County Register, and then I came up to Sacramento to start something called Cal Watchdog, which is an online investigative journalism project for the Pacific Research Institute, a free market think tank. And then my column gets printed still in the Register, San Francisco Examiner, Peel Democrat, printed a lot. So it gets printed in a number of places, Human Events. And I'm an author of a book, a couple books. First one was called Abuse of Power, How the Government Misuses Eminent Domain, which was obviously a property rights book back in 2004. And then my recent book is Plunder, and that's about public employee unions.
Yeah.
So you're our other favorite topic that people love to hate us about.
Yeah, so not a friend of the unions.
Well, no, Plunder would give the title, would give it away.
Yeah, it kind of would. Hey, so you recently purchased some land yourself, and I think 6 acres, and you're bringing in the animals and just having that really nice, you know, rural back-to-basics lifestyle.
Well, I don't know if it's back-to-basics, Mike.
If I had to live off
of whatever I did on the land, I would be quickly starved to death. But yeah, my daughter likes to do 4-H, so she's able to have the chickens and horses and things, and you can still do that and we're not that far from Sacramento.
Yeah.
So it's in the Sacramento area, you can still have a little bit of land.
So you kind of just from your own backyard have a personal interest in private property rights.
Well, you know, whether you live on a few acres or live in an apartment, everyone should have an interest in private property rights. So I've long been long championed the property owners in Southern California who were having their land taken by redevelopment agencies through eminent domain and through regulatory takings. There was one case I wrote about in Southern California where the city, a man had invested his life savings in it was about 120 developable acres, and the city decided they wanted that land. That was the city of Brea. They wanted that land to be a park, and they admitted they couldn't afford to build the park, so they basically zoned all his land out of all the development rights away from it through regulatory taking, and then claimed they didn't owe him anything. And these were all good Republicans doing it too, by the way.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and when Jerry Brown doesn't get much right, but when he wanted to end redevelopment agencies, he was right about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans were the ones who resisted that. And redevelopment agencies, of course, are probably the biggest, among the biggest abusers of property rights in the state. There's so many, it's hard to say which is the biggest.
And redevelopment funds are supposed to be used primarily to end blight and for low-income housing.
Well, it's all nonsense. The environmental things are supposed to protect the environment, but what they do is the things you document. Redevelopment agencies just give power over land use decisions to a bunch of bureaucrats who end up enriching hand-picked developers and driving other people off their property, usually picking on the poor folks, elderly folks, and take away the land so that they could build a Costco or something that provides tax income. So that's, we have so many ways that property rights are assaulted in the state and really the whole country.
Now, when you were up in the Scott Valley in the Yreka area, Siskiyou County, a few weeks ago, what was your impression of the land and the people that are managing it?
Well, I mean, I can't say that I became expert on anything up there. Just driving through it, obviously, it's a beautiful rural area. There aren't very many people up there, so there aren't many ways to earn a living. So if we get rid of the dams, I don't know what people are expected to do. I drove through the river valley and up to one of the dams up there. Iron Gate? Is that the right?
Yeah, that's the easy. That's the first one you get to.
Yeah. Did that. So obviously, the people who are managing their land, private property, is the best way to ensure the, the maintenance of land. People have a.
But when you drove to
taking care of their land, and it's not like we're going to have big subdivisions up there anytime. I mean, it's hours from everything.
Sure. And when you drove to Iron Gate along that windy road, and you went past like the Fish Hook restaurant. It's very good, by the way.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, and the Blue Heron Resort next door, he's got the, RV pads right there along the river. It's gorgeous. Just before you got to that, you went past Guy's Place, and at that point in the river where it's really fairly, it's fairly wide and got a lot of water going by, he lived there prior to the dams going in. And prior to the dams going in, when were you up there?
Oh, it was just during the during the event.
Okay. So at that time, if the dams would not have been in, like Iron Gate, Copco, and those, then those were put in the early 1900s. But without Iron Gate Dam, that part of the river at that time of year, you could have walked across it and not gotten your shoes wet.
Mm-hmm.
There was no water there. So Iron Gate Dam actually provides water the entire year. Instead of just through part of the year. So even if that was the only dam they took out, you would still have significant portions of the Klamath that the water would run underground. And it takes a lot of water to take an area that's that porous and the water runs underground to actually keep the water flowing above ground for fish. So if the whole thing's about fish, makes no sense to me.
Very convenient.
Why you would take out the dam that makes sure that the water's there for the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I recall. I guess it must have been in the movie that was shown. I mean, the discussions about the coho salmon not being they were never plentiful that far inland. Is that correct? Is that how I'm remembering?
You saw that they were doing what?
No, I recall the movie that we saw at the event where there was a discussion that the fish were never all that plentiful that far inland.
Yes.
So I'm not up on my science of coho salmon, but
coho salmon is a cold water fish that spawns really no further than about 25 miles from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're a cold water fish, what would you be doing up there?
Well, I don't know the science of it, but it sounded like there was not ever a real from what we heard there was not really a lively fish population up there.
No, not a consistent one. There, it's funny. It was brought out to us in a couple of discussions with people who were, of course, really smart on fish, and we just listened on those. Because we're pretend scientists. But he was saying that fish go, they go where they can. So in the high water years and that kind of thing, there may have been fish up there. But historically, with all the things that river provides, that was not awesome habitat. And bottom line is, with the dams, the river is cleaner of all the biological type of, the algae and all that stuff. They take that all out and provide much better habitat for the fish. But that isn't really super considered, so now we all have to, I guess we have to talk tough, but if you talk tough, apparently now you're inciting some sort of insurrection.
I'm
kind of locked up on this article.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to expect that sort of response. I mean, that's just the way,
Yeah, it's sad. I'm always surprised. I guess I'm a rookie.
Yeah, I guess we were hoping for something a little
more people-centric.
Yeah,
I was thinking it was time maybe to
something
think people
in fairness.
Counted and the economy counted.
Well, who was saying since I'm not here, not up in Reading, I'm not, I don't have a paper. Who was getting alarmed by the rhetoric?
Environmentalists, Indian tribes.
Yeah. We talked to all the people who don't live in the valley and who weren't at the event. That's the part that's great. Let's interview all the people who weren't there, and let's see what they think.
Yeah.
Which I think is absolutely misses the mark. You know what? We've got to take a quick break so I can thank our advertisers and try to pull myself out of this angry thing I've got going on.
See, we're reading this as we're talking.
We're reading the article. We're
thing.
Like, yeah, we're not going to read the blogs though, so don't worry. Don't worry. We won't burst out in a rage in the middle of the program. And I'll email you the article too, by the way, during the break. So you're listening to We the People Radio. We are here at KCNR 1460 AM. We are chatting with Stephen Greenhut, and we'll be back with you in 2 minutes here at the home of Free Fire Media.
Red lights are flashing around me.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Every breath you take and every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you.
Welcome back. You're listening to We the People Radio. If you want to give us a call, we'd love to hear what you think. 605-4567. The lines are open. We're chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us. The chat room is always fascinating. If nothing wakes you up on a Sunday morning, that will. We are with Stephen Greenhut, author, columnist, and well-versed in property rights. What do you think, Stephen? What do you think people need to know? What's the most important issue out there right now that could end up in their backyard?
Oh, wow, there are so many of them.
I know.
Well, you know, I do think we're touching on the main issue that, you know, government keeps getting bigger and our freedoms keep diminishing. And, you know, as government expands, you know, that means there are more decisions made by people who work for government and fewer made by individuals. And I think there are quite a few issues around the state that all seem to have that common threat. But I, you know, I always like to push conservatives to try to be consistent. I keep finding, again, conservatives wanting to be free to do the things they want, but not, you know, there are a lot of allegiances, especially in this alliances in the state, that could be made with people who don't have our same political views, because virtually everyone wants to be left alone. And especially, my old boss down at the Orange County Register would say everyone's libertarian 25% of the time, mm-hmm. and that's on those 25% of those things that they care most about. So we have to start building new alliances and working with people of different you know, different overall views of the world. The goal is, you know, to create a society where we're free to pursue our own dreams as long as we don't harm others. And, you know, other people are going to have dreams that are different than ours. So I don't, you know, I think I don't think the goal is to put together a group of rural conservatives who are going to stand up to Sacramento. It's just not going to happen in this state, you know, which is a predominantly urban state. You know, where people who live in rural areas in California are, you know, look at the population center. I mean, you've got, 8 million people in the Bay Area and 17 million people in the Los Angeles basin. So the goal is
7,500 people in Yreka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah. Right. I mean, it's just the reality. So are we surprised that an urban-based environmental movement isn't going to be concerned about, you know, how many people in Yreka? Did you say 7,500 or whatever?
Yeah.
44,000 in Siskiyou County. I mean, you know, there are little suburbs nobody's even heard of that you drive through in Los Angeles County that have twice that many people. So it's just, you know, you just have to deal with reality. And, you know, I saw what I saw at the conference was a good group of people and had the right ideas. But, you know, we just have to, this has to become part of a bigger movement statewide of people from every sort of background. I mean, look at the you know, look at the mostly Latino residents of the city of Bell who were fighting against their city officials down there who were are you know, destroying their liberties and wasting their money. And look at the people, you go every walk of life, every type of person around the state who are dealing with some level of the same thing. And I think we need more of a united front. You know, just to stand up to a government that's out of control.
How do the issues, I mean, not the specific things, not the dams and the fish and different stuff like that, but the concept of what's going on up at this end of the state, how does that translate into those urban areas in your mind? Like, what's the, you know, if you were to retool it, repackage it, and resell it in a way they could get, what does that look like for you?
Well, I think people get it. It's just that, a lot of folks don't get what's happening exactly in the part of the world that you're at, just because it's remote. I mean, that was the first time. I love California, and I've been traveling all over the state, learning as much as I can about it. I've been here since '98, and that was the first time I've been to Siskiyou County. I mean, it's really far away, and I haven't lived up in Northern California very long, but even from where I live, it was like a 4.5-5 hour drive from the spot I live in, which is pretty far north in the state, all things considered. You know, when I lived in Los Angeles County and Orange County, I mean, that's just basically another universe up there. So our state's what it's.
So it's, we're really the Northern California.
Well, it's very different. I mean, it is, yes, obviously it's not, I live in Northern California, right? But that's really Northern California.
Exactly.
So,
you don't live in Northern California.
You guys, I'm practically in Southern California.
You knucklehead. That's like people in Monterey. Northern California
that's
Monterey,
right.
It's like, no, you need to burn some fossil fuel buckwheat and come on up.
Well, it is. So, I mean, but you get the point. I mean, it's completely mm-hmm. different. It's rural, and, geography is a bit different. So it's people aren't going to know about the details of what's going on, or they'll read the news stories, but they're not going to really understand.
And they don't make the connection of where their clean water comes from and
where their food comes from.
Well,
I wouldn't say that about, I just think, you can't expect, my point is you can't expect people to just understand what you're dealing with up there. And,
right. No, so, I don't think they should just wake up one day and develop this. I think that's okay. We're pretty realistic. We don't think that people are down there going, gee, what should I worry about today? I think I'll imagine a place I've never been to with problems I have no knowledge of, and I'm going to get active there. I mean, that's, that's not what we're thinking. But what hits home for folks?
Well, usually, it depends. If you're talking about, I'm not sure what we're talking about exactly, other than
what issues
we're talking about, the environmentalists who are really the problem here, and the government officials. Now, that's one thing. I don't think any of those folks care, right? They're about creating as much open space as possible. Whether everyone at the conference was talking about Agenda 21 and this and that, but none of that, that's irrelevant in a way. I mean, it's whatever the cause, that's the philosophy right now in the environmental movement, is to lock up as much land as possible from human uses. And so that's a problem. There's no level of argument that you can make to these folks that's going to,
sure,
I think, really change their mind. But what we're talking about is the other California, our fellow citizens,
yeah,
who live in the urban areas, and that's where I was saying, I don't know how we do it, but nothing's going to change in this state until we put together, the farmers in the Central Valley who are fighting ridiculous
yes,
global warming laws that are putting a lot of them out of business. The folks dealing with the Delta smelt issue as the feds try to decrease the salinity in the Delta, people who are dealing with the Coastal Commission, what you guys are dealing with up there, these are all examples of people down in the desert in the Mojave who are dealing with the federal government trying to shut off more access to roads down there for the off-road vehicles and those sorts of things. So there's a whole group of I think people who enjoy the land and use the land who have to deal with things like that travel management plan,
right?
That's something that people should be able to understand, the idea that mm-hmm. the federal government is trying to
keep you off.
Yeah.
If you live in an urban area and your dream is to take your kids camping in the forest, good luck with that.
Well, yeah, but then people in urban areas have to deal with the Coastal Commission, and they have what I had mentioned earlier, various regulatory takings, the eminent domain issue. So we just need to somehow, I don't know how it's done. If I knew how it was done, I would have done it. But
we had you on here so you could give us the answer, because we're tired of struggling.
Well, yeah, I've got so many answers here. I'm a problem guy. I mean, that's what people, with my book on public employee unions, I mean, everyone wants answers. I'm like, well, you know, I'm a documenter of the problem.
Oh, darn it. That's not what I thought we were doing. Hey, we got to on that note, drats. Hey, I'm going to give you one comment that was on the blogs, which is just, you know, not the thing you probably ought to read first thing in the morning. On this great event that we all went to, and here are all these people who weren't there bloviating about, you know, how smart they are on global warming. Here's one of the responses, and then we'll cut to commercial, give everybody 2 minutes to pull the steak knife out of their back and mull this over. This guy writes, all sheriffs must undergo intense fisheries biology training in the academy. It's like, okay. Then he says, sit down, stop riling the people up, and let the scientists and educated folk do their jobs. Yeah, exactly. Why do you think I was over here seething?
You should be glad when they put that stuff in print.
Yeah, he says, sit down, stop riling the people up, and let the scientists and educated folk do their jobs. Why are the sheriffs involved anyway? This is I'm like, oh my God. Okay, so anyway,
this person knows
off
nothing.
We go to a commercial so I can swear without hitting the button that I've never used over here on myself. We'll be back in 2 minutes here at the incredulous home of We the People Radio on KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Eat the fish.
We are closing in on our first hour of We the People Radio. We're talking all things environmental, private property rights, government intrusion, and I have to say something.
No.
To all the
Stop
people.
It.
Yeah.
We're on
yeah,
radio.
Yeah.
You have to act it out.
No, I'm going to say it. To all the people that blog on the Record Searchlight, please, please, please do your homework.
Have your heads examined.
Get in your car, burn some fossil fuel, like Aaron so eloquently put it. Drive up to Siskiyou County, meet the people, see the land, see what Fish and Game has done. See for yourself, talk to the people.
Do your homework, for Lord's sake. Why are the sheriffs involved?
Please do that.
That's the stupidest thing
I've read
in, like, I don't know, a couple of days. Yeah. I made up some new swears during the break. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Tried to make you laugh because I thought your head was going to explode.
Yeah, I thought my head might explode too. Too many fish in the sea, man. That's just about it. I tell the fishing game every time I see him, I'm like, man, you're lucky I don't live up there. I'd kill all the fish on my land. I'm sick of this whole thing.
You know, it just makes you not want
to see him. They go exorcist. Guy's head swiveled around a couple times.
I've always been a really responsible person with recycling and composting and energy use. I mean, I have always been that way, but I am so tired of the extreme views from the environmental agencies and these people that I just want to waste. I'm just so tired of being responsible. I'm responsible, and look what it gets you. You know what I mean?
Like, Elizabeth the Litterer. We're just going to call you Elizabeth, a.k.a. the Litterer.
I'm going to throw my paper coffee cup out the window on my way home.
I throw my cans and bottles in the trash, by the way. Always have. Just fight back.
Okay.
So...
Wow. One of the points.
Yes, I'm sorry.
One of the points I think you're making.
Please come back.
There's a punitive approach that the government regulators take, and there's I'm trying to find an old friend of mine, I believe. I think his name's R.J. Smith, who's Washington think tank. He did a number of research on how beneficial it is when regulators take an approach that rewards people for encouraging more fish rather than punishing them for our fish or whatever the specific endangered species to be saved is. So it's just the problem with regulation is it's punitive rather than that certainly doesn't encourage people to if you find an endangered species on your property, you're in trouble, right? So you want to get rid of it in a sense, where in a proper model we would be rewarding property owners would want to find endangered species, and so the whole thing is turned upside down, and that's the problem with regulation.
Yeah, and lots of it. Well, and you know the thing is too, this article today, and unfortunately we didn't read it until we were
on the air with you.
Until we were just
lucky
about
guy.
Just about on the air with you. We were pretty happy when we started out. Normally we're a lot of fun.
why get upset? I mean, why get upset? They're covering the issue, and
but they aren't covering the issue. That's the thing. They're not covering
and
the issue.
Lets people see what the other side believes. I mean, I don't get upset at things I read. I mean, I understand that they're not ignoring you. It's better
well,
than being ignored.
Well, they did ignore, and that's I guess my point is for all those people out there that thought that it was important that the Record Searchlight cover this event, people just were hammering them, sending them things. Why didn't you cover this event? You sent a photographer. Why didn't you cover this event? Well, this is what we get from their coverage.
Yeah.
And bottom line is, we had great coverage ourselves. We had great video ourselves.
Yeah.
The video of just the sheriff's panel alone is up over 18,000 views, and it's only been up like a week. And we're not, professional viral marketers by any means. But people want to know that there are still Americans out there who understand what that means. And our newspapers obviously don't get it. They talk to the bulk of that story was interviewing people who were not there, using quotes about the event.
Right. So now it's your job. I mean, having worked in a newspaper for many years.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Well, a lot of times, and I haven't read the story, so I'm not.
You can't be angry enough. You know what? When we take our news break, you have to read it and then come back after the news break and give us your impression. Would that be cool?
Okay. Well, I don't want to be in a position of critiquing the newspaper so much as saying that. Have you guys, when the event was happening, did you contact the newspaper? Did you go meet with them? Did you encourage them? Call the reporters? A lot of times that doesn't happen. And there are always ways of that like I mentioned they did print my column on it which was probably something you folks liked.
Yeah, it was
now,
great.
Now you need to respond to this piece and write a rebuttal or contact the newspaper. I mean, at least think of it as an opening dialogue rather than worrying too much about whether it was, was the right piece or not. I mean, now's a good chance for you to write a rebuttal to it, and contact the editors over there. So
I would be curious, since you were there, I would be curious if you think that this covered, this was even on topic. That's my point.
I tried searching for this piece while we're on the air, and I can't find it. So I don't know why it's not.
I just emailed you the link. But yeah, I mean, I'm just curious if you think it's even on topic, because it missed the guy that was up there didn't stay. I mean, he stayed till the movie started, so he didn't even really see the whole event. Oh man, we're into our last minute right before the hard break, so we've got 5 minutes coming where we can read that article. Okay, right. So let's give people directions here.
And I've got to leave soon after the hard break, so I'll do a quick. Yeah.
Just your impression, not a critique. We won't put it in your professional file.
And when you come back, give people links where they can read your work. I'm a huge fan, so.
Yeah, Elizabeth's how we found you.
I know. I'm a huge, huge fan of your work.
Yeah, you should know. We were at a meeting, and Elizabeth's like, that's Stephen Greenhut.
Oh, boy.
He's, yeah. he's all, I feel kind of creepy now.
I'm not a stalker.
Yeah, well, when they deny it, you know what that means.
But,
that's funny. Are you sure it wasn't, you know, one of the sheriffs or regulators?
No, it was you. It wasn't at Rural America. It was down at another thing a long time ago.
Yeah, so
when she first started stalking you.
Oh, okay.
Hey, so guys, go to the webpage, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll have Robert throw up a link on this article right on there, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Of We the People Radio. We're streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us. You can give us a call at 605-4567. We are with Stephen Greenhut, author and columnist, who does have to take off here in a minute. And Stephen, before you comment on that article from the Record Searchlight, can you give the folks links to where they can find your work?
Yeah, we do a site called Cal Watchdog, so it's calwatchdog.com. And we've got news articles every day, and news and investigations and blogs and columns, all sorts of things.
Great.
And I am still trying to get this article to download here. Alarms, tribes, environmental groups. I see this. You know, I'm going to have to.
No problem.
I'm going to have to read it. I'm going to take a minute or two to read
that's
it.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. You don't have to try to do that.
Hey, you know what? We'll get you. We're going to wind up doing more. We're going to wind up doing a program just on this, I think, because people called in.
I always tell activists not to get too focused on the media coverage, because I got into the whole news business because I lived in a city, Des Moines, Iowa, where the newspaper was terribly biased, and so I started writing for them, and then I started getting involved. And you know what I always tell people is to try to engage the editors and try to rebut things and consider it a dialogue. I mean, if a piece is out that you think is biased, then engage. It's not the final story. And these days there are all sorts of other ways to get information out. I mean, we were in the day that I started writing, pretty much whatever was in the newspaper was the news that was going to get out for the day. And now that's important. Newspapers are still important, but they're also, people can do their own blogs, and there are all sorts of alternate media out there. So all sorts of ways to. So I just say, whatever one thinks of any particular story is, good. There's a good chance to write a rebuttal. Contact the editorial page editor. I've met him before. He seems like he's a really good guy. Bruce Ross, I think's his name, and ask him to run a rebuttal if you don't like it.
And I know you have to run, but I think the method in which you communicate with the newspaper matters too.
Well, sure, because I worked on newspapers before, and I'll tell you.
You don't beat them up.
People, anything you write, you hear from people who are sure that you're biased and all sorts of things. And people call and they yell and they scream. And, there are all sorts of reporters at papers. There are multiple reporters, multiple editors. Contact them. I've seen it before as on the outside where you contact the editor, you present your point of view, and usually it works. They'll print what you have to say, or they'll at least accommodated in the next article that they write. Now, I've had hostile relationships with reporters too, so I know that happens. But you ought not assume that that's what's going to happen. And mm-hmm. I found that a lot of times papers, no one contacts them and politely presents their case. So why not? And I have personally, I've had my dealings with that paper there, and have found them to be very good. So I wouldn't imagine that. They wouldn't at least listen to you. I'm not trying to speak for them. I don't know, but I would give it a try.
We're gonna call
you. That doesn't mean you shouldn't criticize articles you don't like. I'm not saying that either.
We're gonna call you Dr. Steve.
What's that?
We're going to call you Dr. Steve.
No, I just, you know.
That's going to be your alter identity. We're going to let's get Dr. Steve on the line.
Okay, that sounds good. Just get your message out. You know, get it. I enjoy the debate, frankly, and I've always have, and I don't mind if people write a story that offends me. It's a good chance
I think that our initial reaction was that these people are being hammered so badly and have been for so long, and it really is dramatically affecting their livelihoods and the quality of their lives. So to have this article come out hammering them yet again, I think that's probably...
Well, I hear you on that. And the comments, now comments, though, you have to realize, I mean, I like sometimes for fun, I'll read the comments on some of my columns on newspapers. And you know,
the
commenters,
anyone
can comment,
huh?
And there's some of the most ridiculous things you read. But, you know, that's just part of the game now. I mean, people comment and they say whatever's on their mind, and they're anonymous often, and that's just I wouldn't put any stake on that sort of thing. That's just the way it is. I mean, you should see some of the emails I get.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah,
but you've got a great... I mean, that was a great issue. I really enjoyed being up there. I've gotten overwhelmingly good response from my column on it.
Great,
which was very sympathetic to what was going on. And now you've just got to, you've got people noticing, and now you just got to keep working on that. And of course, you're going to get criticized. There's going to be criticism. That anytime there's controversy, there's going to be criticism. You just have to roll with that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, how did and just to kind of go back to the beginning there a little bit? How did you hear about that event, and why did you wind up going anyway?
Oh, there were people who live up there. Had contacted... They knew a coworker of mine back from San Francisco, and they contacted me and asked me if I'd be interested. And I said, "Yeah, sure, that'd be great." And then I went up and wrote about it. So it was nice. Fun. I was glad to have gone up there.
Yeah, and I noticed you were hanging out at the Libertarian booth and stuff. So you probably
I knew the I knew people there.
You were probably schooling them up there.
The executive director of the Libertarian Party was there. So
speaking of which, they had a little test that you could take.
Oh yeah, the world's smallest political test.
And it was really interesting because so many people took it for fun and realized that they were libertarians. Didn't know going in.
It looked like I looked at where all the dots were. They were mostly in the Libertarian. So that was a good crowd. So, I think the fact that those of us who are libertarians, we're always used to losing every issue, so we have to keep a good nature about it. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Not get too mad, because we don't win a lot of them.
It's not the hill we want to die on, as they say.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. And,
got to go, so thanks a lot for, jumping out of bed and hanging with us here for...
Yeah, sorry to the listeners. I was late, but
that's okay.
Like I said, the time change. I'm easily confused.
And I really encourage the listeners to go to calwatchdog.org. Check out Stephen's articles. They're great. They're great. I just, like I said, I follow. So.
So when you have an issue that that needs airtime, you are commanded to let us know. And when we need Dr. Steve, we're just going to call you up.
Dr. Steve, I love it. All right, well, thanks for having me.
All right, you have a great one. Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here on We the People Radio, we are going to transition from fish to... Da, 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 da. We're going to transition into illegal immigration. It's kind of the same, though. It's all about things that don't belong where they are, and other people are insisting that they do. So actually, it's the same issue. But we're moving from fish to people. So we're going to speak with Tim Donnelly when Bob there gets him on the horn. We're going to take a little quick break here early. We're going to give Assemblyman Donnelly a phone call. He is running the new initiative to turn back the California Dream Act, because it's not really a dream, because most people in California don't dream that their tax dollars will go to illegal aliens so they can get college educations so that their kids can't qualify for the grants because the money's all used up.
Supposed to be the Nightmare Act.
Yeah. So the California quote-unquote Dream Act repeal is the subject of our next 45 minutes thereabouts. So we'll see if Mr. Donnelly is a clock setter. See, I think actually the fact that Steve didn't have his clock on the right thing, I think that's very libertarian of him. Because libertarians don't like to be told what to do.
Exactly.
So he just didn't do it.
Didn't, yeah.
I'm I'm with him.
I am too. I think that that may be what I am.
I don't like to be told what to do. Everybody out there that knows me is going, oh my God.
Yeah,
you have
me
no
either.
Idea. Sorry, Robert. Robert's still mad. I was fixing a broom on Halloween and I just about had to beat him over the head. Get away from me. I can fix it myself.
How do our husbands do it?
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to have to change the name of the show again. Every 15 minutes, we're going to have a new name. I had a puppy once when I was a kid. I was allergic to it. We only had him for a day. He had three names. It's a lot like that. Hey, so we will be back to... This isn't good. We're all laughing. You can't have everyone laughing.
See, I told you,
talk.
Very serious topics, but we have a lot of fun.
Craziness. And I'm not even reading the chat room, but I see a lot of exclamation points. You should get in there and chat with us. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Click on the listen button. The chat window will come up. Put your name in. You can put whatever you want in there and chat with us. Second hour, Dream Act, coming up right away here on KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
A vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back. Second hour of We the People. It's been a good one. Another good one. Hey, so you guys all know the number in the chat room of the website by now, so I'm not going to tell you.
I will.
Okay.
Because I just want to take her job. You can call us at 605. O isn't a number, though. So it's 605-4567.
Was that meant for me?
No. Oh. I just, you know, I said, oh, I'm like, wow, I didn't do
that's
that.
Not
O isn't a number.
Okay.
605-4567, and it's wethepeopleradio.us.
Yeah, hey, so here's what I want you to do.
What?
You have spent, you would know better than anybody, but about half of your life in the last 6 months in Siskiyou County, walking all the land, talking to all the regulators, all of the landowners. I mean, nobody knows this stuff like you do, right? So why don't you dispel a couple of rumors that were in the paper this morning?
Sing it, sister. Which rumor would you like?
Okay. Let's highlight the fact of what's happening in the economies of eight small counties. Well, not, you know, population-wise. So you had eight...
They're just being crushed.
You had eight sheriffs come together from Northern California, Southern Oregon. I mean, that never happens, right? That never happens.
No.
So are they all loony or are they all experiencing economic devastation?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I had a call from a guy on Friday on my way up there. And he said, you know, people are concerned that their property values are going down. He goes, I don't care about my property value. My property value is of no interest to me because I'm never leaving. I've been here for... You know, I'm third generation and my kids are going to stay here because what I'm concerned about is that I won't be able to stay here because I won't have water to live, much less make a living. And, you know, that it's a really basic argument. It isn't like their rent is going up. I mean, this is some of the things that are going on will impede their ability to stay there, which is a big deal. So we'll go
touch on it again.
Yeah, we'll go more on that. We're you know what? We're circling perfection here because we have Assemblyman Tim Donnelly on the line. He has figured out daylight savings time or not. At the very least, he's figured out how to answer his phone. So, you know what? We don't require a lot. That is all we need.
Yeah, we had a guest one time that, and I won't mention names, but if he's listening, he knows who he is. And he he was sitting in a hotel room, but he did have all three kids with him because his wife's a pilot and she was deployed. But he had all three kids with him, so
she was
a busy guy.
She's a pilot in the military, which is why she was deployed.
He had his cell phone sitting right next to him on mute. And we were calling and calling and calling and calling, and he had it sitting right next to him and never looked at it.
Yeah, it's like, can you put it on stun next time instead of silent?
Yeah, so 45 minutes later, he looked down and went, ooh, my red light is blinking. Ooh, there's 10 calls from We the People.
Holy cow.
So good for you. You answered your phone.
So
good morning.
Good morning.
You're our new favorite guest. we're so fickle. So anyway, hey, hi, Tim. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Hey, we're getting a little bit of snow up here in the mountains.
Oh, where are you at?
We're in Twin Peaks, which is right near Lake Arrowhead.
Beautiful area.
Yeah.
I drove through the snow on my way home through from Siskiyou County last night. Snow up there, too. Got snow at both ends of the state.
So, Assemblyman Donnelly, tell us about the DREAM Act, for those that are listening that actually don't know what it is.
Well, the DREAM Act is the frosting on top of a multi-layered cake. And essentially, back in 2001, you've heard a lot about the DREAM Act with Rick Perry. He did one back in 2001 in the state of Texas, offering in-state tuition to people in the country illegally. Let me explain that. When I came to California, I was an out-of-state student because I came from Michigan. And so I transferred from University of Michigan. I was trying to go to a California school. And at the time, they said, look, we have quotas, so you can't come to UCLA. You can't be a Bruin. You're going to have to go to Davis, or you're going to have to go to Irvine or someplace that's, you know, somewhat less popular, doesn't have a football team and all that. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. I mean, I just want to get in the state. And they said, but after you get in the state for 1 year and you establish legal residency, we will give you in-state tuition. Because really what they're hoping to do is attract people who are getting an education in California to stay and work and become part of, you know, the investment. Well, with people who are illegally in the country, we now offer that benefit as long as they go to one of our high schools for 3 years. So, you know, that's been in place since 2001. That costs us between $200 and $300 million a year. Then on top of that, we just recently decided to hand over Cal grants to illegals. So now you get to pay with your tax money for them to have their college dream. And we're doing this at a time when we just cut $1.3 billion out of the university budget. We've raised rates on our students 12%, so they're paying more for less. We're holding lotteries for classes. It's taken 6 years for a kid to get a four-year education.
Jeez.
That really, the real net effect of that is you're now delaying their entry into the full-time workforce. So, you know, they're hanging around mom and dad's house and going to college and maybe working part-time, but they're not part of that return on investment. They're not part of that, 53% of our income to the state of California, which comes from people's personal income tax, because they're not making enough to really have to pay any. So all the way, which way around, it's a bad idea. But on top of all of that, the university system is now sending recruiters out of state to find people like me who are in Michigan who wanted to go to California and who are willing to pay three times the tuition. So if our classes weren't overcrowded enough, they're now drawing people here. They've erased the quotas and said, come to California, pay more. We will get you into classes. We'll shove, you know, California citizens out of the way. And on top of all of that, we're going to give illegals in-state tuition, financial aid paid for by the taxpayer, that's going to cost tens of thousands more illegals to come here.
Now, do they have to pay that? Do they have to pay that back?
No, it's a gift. It's a grant.
That is sweet. What a deal.
Yeah, it's insane. This is sheer, absolute insanity.
Could it be that they're a voting bloc?
Well, first of all, they're not even a working bloc. These kids cannot legally work in California.
You nitpicker. So,
you know, so this is not an investment unless you consider Solyndra to be an investment.
And we all know how that one worked out.
Hey, so Assemblyman, we have a caller on the line.
But wait, we have a quick question before.
Okay, from the chat room.
We have to leave Comrade Ann on hold for just one moment.
Okay.
Hey, a lady in the chat room wanted to know, and it's going to roll by and then I'll forget, see. She said, if we want to set up a table or just a clipboard to have petitions signed, can we be anywhere on a public sidewalk?
I believe that you can be, sure, you can be on a public sidewalk. That's not an issue. You just, the rules are kind of fuzzy. They've been hammered out in court a little bit recently in terms of private stores. So here's basically the rundown. If you want to stand there with a clipboard, you can pretty much do that anywhere on public property as long as you're not impeding traffic or being a disruption. And, of course, you know, there's going to be various interpretations.
Sure.
My advice is it's always a good idea to talk to, you know, whoever's in authority. To say, hey, look, I'm going to be out here. I just wanted to let you know I'm going to stay out of the way, but I am going to be collecting signatures. If you're going into a store, you really need to get their permission because they control, and I'm glad they do, they control access to their private property. So at a store, you need to go in and talk to the manager and not tell them what you're doing. Ask them. And you know what? Good manners go a long way. So I think in that regard, now at some stores they'll say, hey, you can set up a booth. And if you get permission to set up a booth and you contact us at our website, stopab131.com, send us an email, we'll get you a banner. And that way
get
you have something to attract people. You know, and you can go on my Facebook and see some photos of some operations that went on this weekend where people had the banner and lots of people came up to them. One guy got 1,000 signatures in 6 hours in front of a Target in Temecula.
Wow. And that's stopab131.com.
Yes, stopab131.com.
And what is your now, website so we have that correct?
There is one other clarification just
we'll do
for a moment. If you want to stand, like, in a common area where there's a number of stores, but you're not on any one store's property, but you're kind of in a common area where people may walk through and congregate, that's perfectly acceptable, even on private property with a clipboard. You can't set up a table, but with a clipboard, you can do that. And, you know, you have about a 50-50 chance anybody's going to bother you. But if they do, you just be polite and you know, and find some other place or you get permission, so... And what were you asking about my website?
I think Robert said it was already on our, it's already on our page there for you.
Oh, so, great. Yeah, I was planning to come on the air at 10 o'clock. I was all prepared. I just didn't know that your show ended at 10 o'clock.
Everybody's all screwed up. We had Stephen Greenhead on the first hour, and
yeah.
he was sweeping, so we couldn't unearth him until 20 after, and then yeah. He ran till quarter after, and you know
it's okay. We're flexible.
Yeah, that's why they call it fall behind.
We've been running this statewide campaign, so we're getting to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning and getting up at 5 every single day. So today, I got to sleep in. I felt like I slept in till noon, even though I got up at 8. So.
Nice.
You know.
Yeah, so, well, should we take Ann's call real quick before
we
go to break?
Right in.
Sorry, Ann.
That's okay.
Welcome to the abuse line.
Did you have a question?
Well, yeah, I think I can probably find the answer on the website.
Yeah, but that won't play well on radio. It'll be too quiet.
Well, I just got back from taking a walk and stomping through the vernal pools and fairy shrimp area, and I was listening to the program. But I received 10 petitions from Assemblyman Donnelly's office, and I have them filled out, and I wanted to know where I could get more. 10 is nothing.
We have them in our trunks. Sally's got them. You can pick them up Monday.
Okay, will do.
Yeah, and let me thank you, Ann, for getting those signatures. And one of the most important things we need to make clear right now when we have 60 days left, 60 days is a lifetime. It is a lifetime. I mean, it is a long period of time to do what we want to do if we work at it every day. It's also a millisecond, you know, when you're trying to get a half a million signatures.
So here's
the thing. I need you to mail those back to me. And there's an address right at the bottom. They're of absolutely no use except for starting fires if we don't get them back.
And is it best to send them back as soon as you get them filled out?
Yes, absolutely.
Don't wait till the cutoff.
No, do not wait till the cutoff. We want them back immediately, and we'll send you more. Send them back with a note and say, hey, I want more.
Because
we'll mail you out more.
You need time to verify the signatures.
We need to go through and check and make sure that signatures are accurately
correct, recorded
and count. So now, here's what we've done around the state. Because in the last month, we have gone from the day I announced the referendum on October 10th, immediately on a couple of radio shows and television,
uh-oh,
we had such an out. Are you still there?
Yeah, Tim, we're having a little situation here.
Ann just hung up, is the issue here, but we're about to get a dial tone, so maybe we better go to break.
Take a swift commercial break here. Thank you, Comrade Ann, for calling in. We'll be back with Tim Donnelly on the California Dream Act, or for reversal of such, here at We the People Radio at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Have a dream, a song to sing, to help me cope with anything.
Aw, it's butterflies and sunshine and rainbows. Welcome back to We the People Radio.
With our dream theme.
605-605-4567. Yes. Chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us. Okay, so we're talking about the Dream Act, and here's how it plays out. If you have a child that wants to go to college or is in college, number one, it's going to take them 6 years. Number two, they or you will come out of that with a lot of debt. And then number three, as a taxpayer, you get to pay for illegal aliens to go to college for free and cut in line in front of your kid. And then when they get their college education, they come out with no debt. Woohoo! Who doesn't want to sign up for that?
And the program that's coming up in the next half hour is apparently on positive political talk. That was Elizabeth. That was Elizabeth ripping the headphone off her head. Yet again, we don't have a webcam. I am so sorry, and it was horribly funny.
That was the obligatory mic bump.
So, yeah, the show right behind ours is about positive political things, so you might want to just suffer through this next 25 minutes of unhappiness, and you can get happy here pretty quick.
Yeah, because they're going to tell you how wonderful it is to spend your tax dollars.
So Mr. Donnelly, why are you the guy that spearheads this? I already know, but people don't.
Oh, I guess because I've been on this issue for 6 years, starting with I formed the largest Minuteman group in California, trying to alert people really to a problem, the crisis of illegal immigration that affects California more than any other state. I mean, look, just take a look right now at the national situation. Look at what happened to Rick Perry's campaign. Rick Perry had all the makings of what looked like a real strong, you know, presidential contender, and when it was discovered that he had pushed for and signed a Texas Dream Act giving illegals in-state tuition. The people don't want that. Because here's the thing. As much as we might feel sorry for, and believe me, I do, there's a teensy tiny fraction of a percentage of kids whose parents brought them here illegally.
Right.
And the only solution, according to them, is that we have to turn our entire system upside down, create a massive entitlement going forward. Forget about trying to address the kids who were brought here as 3 years old. And let's say there's 25 or 30,000. Let's just posit that. Nobody's actually come up with a real number because, you know, they would have to admit they're here illegally, and nobody wants to do that. But if there were 25 or 30,000, there's all these activist groups, and they are heavily funded by the Ford Foundation, by all these other, even government agencies. We put taxpayer dollars behind some of these groups that are fighting against our interests on the illegal immigration. Fine. Stop your campaigning and pay for some college scholarships for these kids if you really care about them. Stop telling me that I have to pay for them at the expense of my kid going to college. I can't really afford to send my kid to college. So he's going to have to work and pay his way through like I did. And so a Cal Grant's going to be very important to him. Him getting classes is going to be very important in a four-year timely fashion so he can get into the workforce. By creating a massive entitlement that is going to bring tens of thousands, if not millions more here illegally, is really suicide for our state.
Yes. And what... it seems at the end of, you know, when you say that, at the end everybody looks at everybody and goes, yep, makes perfect sense. Okay, so well, so now...
How about the good news?
Yeah,
the good news?
Please. Oh, my gosh, you know, you're kidding me.
And the people coming the after us would really like that.
The program afterwards is supposed to be positive. Well, let me preempt them, and then maybe they'll want to have me on their show. Here's the deal. When I announced the referendum on October 10th, we had a massive outpouring of support. I've never seen anything like it in all the years I've been politically aware. We had in the first 24 hours 5,000 people sign up to help us. By the end of the week, there were over 20,000 volunteers. We didn't know it. We thought there were only about 10 because the website guys hadn't sent us this cache of almost 10,000 people who had signed up to help us. So we finally gotten all that under control, and we're moving forward. But here's the fascinating part. 40% of those people who responded, we did a poll of the people who responded and you know, read through 10% of the emails. 40% were people who are Americans of Hispanic descent. 20% are hardcore liberal Democrats. I mean, hardcore. One lady wrote in, she said, I am a liberal, I am an atheist, a feminist, and a lifelong Democrat, and I support you 100%.
Wow.
Now, think about that. I'm not, you know, Mr., you know, happy-go-lucky. I'm the guy who's trying to start a political revolution in California and really push for things that I believe in and that we believe in as a people. So I've had my own battles with Democrats. I've been on the front page of the Los Angeles Times where they tried to demonize me. So if you're a Democrat, you probably would likely not like me. You'd probably feel the way we might feel toward Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid. Very polarized. So if 20% of the people writing us are liberal Democrats who would naturally not want to write, I bet the numbers double. So there's a tremendous amount of support. We're finding it out, you know, out at grocery stores. We're finding it everywhere across the state. And here's the great news. Oh, by the way, 20% of the kids who wrote us are students who haven't even registered to vote yet. So now they're going to register to vote according to what's important to them. And right now the most important thing to them is getting classes. So they're probably going to wind up voting for a Republican. We could very well be creating a tailwind by putting this on the ballot in November of 2012. We could create a tailwind for every conservative candidate and anybody who is willing to stand up for citizens, even Democrats. If a Democrat wants to stand up and run on this issue in their district, they will beat out the ones who are for the DREAM Act. And so for once, the system is working for the people. And I think we could potentially see a majority in 2012.
God, that'd be awesome.
Nothing like a unifying effort.
Mm-hmm.
And the uniter.
You're definitely a guest on the next hour.
You totally are.
We're totally pitching it.
Dr. Tim,
we had Dr. Steve on the first hour. He solved all the media problems. Now we have Dr. Tim. He's going to solve immigration. Oh my gosh, are we just, golly, we're all over it. Hey,
well, you know what's funny? What? This is not about immigration, though. That's
no.
The funny thing.
Oh, so you can't be Dr. Immigration?
No, because people have personalized this issue. This is about their kids. It's about that fundamental human yearning we have as parents. We want our kids to do better than we did. And education is the key to that. And here, we're basically saying we're going to take our kids, and their dream has to be delayed or deferred so that somebody whose family did things the wrong way gets in the front of the line. And that's just un-American.
It is un-American, and, you know, our office is flooded with calls all the time. You know, my kid's trying to apply for a grant, and I just found out that illegal aliens are getting the grant before she is. What are we going to do? We planned, you know, to supplement the college thing, but they were planning on the student loans and financial aid, different things like that that were available, and they go to these guidance counselors who line them out on how to do this stuff, and then, poof, overnight, the game changes.
And, you know, if we had $42 million, I guarantee you, if we held a public meeting anywhere in the state of California and said, we have $42 million extra. The governor just went back in his safe and he found a slush fund that had been left there by the previous administration or the one before that, and he's going to lay it out on the table. and you get to come in and make your best pitch for how that $42 million is spent. Half the emails I got were people saying, hey, I was for the DREAM Act until I realized we cut $1 million out of our local school system. We cut the music and arts programs. That was important to me. We closed half the state parks. That all that would take us $32 million to restore that. We cut $10 million out of the Veterans Aftercare Program. We as Republicans searched everywhere to try to find and negotiate with the Democrats for $10 million to honor and take care of those who would fight and die for us. Sorry, too bad. We don't have it. You know, and somehow we have discovered this slush fund, and they try to sell this idea that all the American citizens are going to get taken care of first. That's just a lie. And if you tell a lie often enough, it becomes the truth. That's the communist way. So we need to stand up and literally just defeat them on this and begin to fight from the inside. And start to defeat these stupid, insane bills. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about the Second Amendment, whether you're talking about overregulation of your business, overregulation of your personal freedoms and liberties, I mean, private property rights. It just never ends. This environmental extremism that is encroaching. I know you guys have the issue with the dams up there. You know, hey, let's get rid of, hydroelectric dams that work.
Clean energy.
Yeah, so yeah. We can get better green power. Oh, wait, there isn't any.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have a green tyrant running the state.
Not really, because if he was a green tyrant, he'd be fighting to keep the dams. So we have a green...
Hey, that's a great point.
That is a great point.
Because he wouldn't be a tyrant.
No.
He'd be a green warrior. He'd be a green patriot. But he's a tyrant because he's going against the people. And he is, on this issue, he is going against 90% of Californians. There was a poll done in Petaluma. 87% of Petalumans are completely against this DREAM Act. And a lot of it's financial. It's not an immigration issue. It's financial. It's a matter of fighting for resources. It's a matter of our kids' future. People come at it from a number of different angles. Every which way you look at it, it is a bad idea.
And you know, what the environmentalists don't realize is what's coming down the pike. I mean, cap and trade hasn't even hit yet.
Yeah, they're going to have to pay the gas bill, too, and everything else. Hey, so for those folks that look at this and they just haven't really thought it all the way through, and they haven't thought about all the things. When we got to take a quick break here so we don't cut you short at the end of the hour, but I'd like you to come back and really kind of explore the idea that, well, if these people are already in the country and they're going to be there anyway, wouldn't we rather have their kids educated and able to hold good-paying jobs rather than, you know, just leeching off society? That's one of the arguments I hear. So,
but they are by using taxpayer dollars to fund their education.
Hold on, we're coming back to talk about it. You can't talk about it now.
Okay,
you got two
sorry.
You really set me up, so I'll be chomping at the bit through the commercial break.
It's only 2 minutes.
Don't chew through the phone cord, though. It'll disconnect you and probably give you a little shock. So we'll be back at We the People Radio here at KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Okay, 10 minutes left, enough to fire up the rest of your day. This has been quite a road show today.
complete with the microphones or the earphones being torn from Elizabeth's head.
Yeah. You know, I have to do my weekly comedic, my physical comedy.
You do, because you know what? Otherwise, I wouldn't want to get up early in the morning.
It wouldn't be any fun unless you could be here. So, we hope you've enjoyed today. I told you, serious topics, but we don't take ourselves seriously. We're in for the long haul. You can't.
You can't. Isn't that right, Mr. Donnelly?
You guys are great hosts, I have to say.
Thank you.
You're getting me all excited about getting out there and fighting with a sense of humor and a smile on our face.
Exactly, because you know what? Then we'll still be in a good mood, and we have the party, the victory party at the end.
There you go.
Exactly.
And victory party is going to be on January 6th of 2012 to start with the defeating and repealing the Dream Act, and then I believe November 3rd of 2012, we're going to see a real payoff. For candidates who are willing to stand up for the Constitution and limited government and other conservative principles.
See, and we live up here in this kind of, it's funny, we have all these issues, but we're represented by all people who are conservative. The bad part is that they have literally taken the steering wheel away from all of you guys that we elect, and you really pretty much have to drive the car from the backseat.
Oh, no. We, with fish and game
and all these different things.
No, we hijacked it for a little while. We grabbed the steering wheel with one hand, and they tried to chop off our hand, but... we kept the $58 billion tax increase from happening.
That's true.
They had every single statewide constitutional office. They had almost a supermajority. All they needed was two votes out of us, and they had the governorship. And he would have signed the tax increase. He was salivating for a tax increase. And it's funny, because I can't wait until he comes back for the next tax increase next year so he can explain to people how he wants to give the CCPOA, the Prison Guard Union, a pay increase, and at the same time he wants to give out, you know, the college dream for illegals paid for by you. And he's going to somehow explain that to people that's a legitimate reason to raise taxes.
All the while, your energy bills are going up, gas goes up, your food prices are going to go through the roof because the transportation costs are going to be going through the roof.
Yeah, because it's no longer local.
You know, it all hits next year.
When you're talking about that cap and trade insanity, that is sheer insanity. Think about this. Here we have 2.5 million Californians out of work. One of the best ways we could get people back to work is to attract manufacturers back to the state. California is naturally one of the greatest states in the union to manufacture in. I spent 20 years in that industry. We have incredible natural talent here. We have a great infrastructure for it in the Silicon Valley, in Southern California, in a whole bunch of different areas, and we could develop other areas. I mean, it makes no sense that we would go for this 33% renewables portfolio, and then on top of that, a cap-and-trade program to where we drive up the cost of electricity, which is probably, next to labor, the most expensive, you know, the biggest expense that a manufacturer has. So this is insanity. And let me go back to the college issue for a second. With 2.5 million Californians out of work, a lot of people are going back to college. They're going back to community college or want to go to university. They need to retrain for a new career. What in the world are we doing prioritizing people who have come here illegally and creating an entitlement that will attract and lure and entice millions more to come here and take up those spots when we can't even meet our obligations to our citizens? We need to help people get retrained so they can get back in the workforce and get off the expense side of our ledger and onto the income side of our ledger.
I like that.
Yeah.
And so what about the folks that say, well, we've got all these kids in here anyway, you know, we don't want them to be prevented from going to college because if they're going to be here anyway, we should educate them.
I don't think the purpose of government is to solve the mistakes of parents. I just don't.
Well, they and think
I don't
it
buy
is.
Into any of that. I don't buy into any of that hogwash. What about my kid? He's 18. He's got good grades. He's worked hard, and through no fault of his own, with the economy and everything, everything we had saved up is gone. And so now he's going to have to try to figure out a way to go to college. He's trying for scholarships. He's going to compete for grants in any kind of financial aid he can get. What about him?
And a lot of that he may not get.
and his parents and his grandparents and his grandparents before them all contributed and all were willing to fight and die for this country. Every one of my grandfathers, both of my grandfathers served in the armed forces. My wife's grandfather was an immigrant who came here from the Philippines. So you want to talk about deserving. There's a real key distinction between legal and illegal. Let me tell you what it is. When he was in the Philippines and in the before MacArthur returned, there were guerrilla American troops there. And one of the things that happened in their village is they hid the women and children up in the fields because the Japanese invaded their village. And they wanted to know where the Americans were. And they told him, every one of them, they lined up all the men on the street. They said, if you don't tell us where the Americans are, we're going to kill you. And nobody said a word. And they chopped off his friend's head right next to him. And they still didn't give up the positions of the Americans. And luckily, the Americans came down out of the hills and attacked the Japanese and saved the rest of them. But he came here. He became an American a long time before he ever came to our soil. But he was one of the most ardent and passionate Americans. And he would be absolutely against handing over, you know, things to people to come here illegally, the wrong way, when he had to sacrifice and be away from his family for 12 years. He sacrificed to become one of us. And that's what makes America great. Not people who walk across a line and then say, hey, you owe me this and you owe me that and I demand these rights. That is hogwash.
Yeah. Sorry. we're all stunned into silence going,
Yeah, hanging on to your every word.
You know what? That's totally true. And there are tons of people out there that have stories like that. They're like, wait a minute, I figured out how to do it.
You know,
did you know that if you are a member of our military and you are transferred into the state of California, for the past decade, while we were handing out in-state tuition grants to illegals, giving them basically what represents a two-thirds break on their tuition, which is part of why we're broke. If you came here as a member of the military, your spouse might want to go to college, your kids might want to go to college near mom or dad, while you're getting ready to either train to go overseas to be willing to fight and die for this country. We treat you the way we treat everyone else from out of state. You are not a legal resident until you establish a legal residency. So you have to pay the three times the tuition, but we made it available to the illegals. That is absolutely unforgivable and inexplicable. And I ran a bill that would eliminate the benefit for those in the country illegally and transfer that benefit and give it to anyone who serves in armed forces who is transferred here temporarily or for any reason whatsoever who is active duty military. And you know what? The Democrats killed that. That's going to be a big mistake on their part.
On what premise? I mean, what was the argument?
There's no explanation for that.
You know, and the truth of the matter is, if we just, you know, cut away all the crap. Oops, push the button.
Elizabeth said crap. Bob, Elizabeth said crap. Did you know, we didn't push the button.
We think that we're going to educate these children.
We allow crap.
Oh, okay.
We think that we're going to educate these children.
So does Rocket Searchlight, by the way.
So that they can be productive members of society and hold good jobs. Well, at the rate we're going, there won't be any jobs. Secondly, we all know this is about creating a Democratic voting bloc.
Well, sure it is. But I have no problem with educating the children. We're already doing it. Until we change the law, the law is the law. I'm deeply upset with the Plyer versus Doe decision from 1982 to give K-12 education. You saw how popular Prop 187 was. That was another Prop 187 in 1994 would have taken away the right for illegals to go to our schools. That was supported by almost 70% of Californians. People forget that. That swept Republicans into the majority. This is an issue that crosses party lines in a way that nothing else does. And if you take a reasoned stance and you stand against the insanity, people will support you, they will support the idea, and they will elect conservatives. And that's the key. We can't sit here and buy into these emotional arguments. We're not up there to pass laws on the basis of emotion. We're supposed to pass laws on the basis of the Constitution, and we're supposed to respect the will of the people. And when 90% of the people want something, and the Democrats want to stand against it, and Jerry Brown wants to sign his name to it, let him. This is going to be the biggest mistake that they have made probably since unionizing public employees.
And I just love...
Which is what he did in his first term.
Yeah.
Let's just tie up that little bow there.
And I just love that in this country, we're expected to do what no one else will do in any other country. And
absolutely.
We're still bad.
All right. We've got to sign off here. And Mr. Donnelly, you have been required to come up here and visit us. We have a million invites. So
I think you and Stephen Greenhut should be side by side.
Let's plan that.
That would be fun.
I think it'd be a blast. So hey, we're going to get cracking on your initiative, and we hope you come up here and cheerlead with us. So
great. No, I look forward to it. I've been wanting to get it on my calendar. So let's do it.
All right, we're doing it. We will get on that. And so thank you so much for being with us this morning. Enjoy daylight savings time. We're putting in a plug for the Sovereign Minds program that's on tonight at 6. They're talking about media bias.
Ooh,
how timely. And they were going to do that
Mark Kent.
Mark Kent. And that was going to be done before we even found out. Our rotten media put in the paper today. So anyway, go to wethepeopleradio.us. You can read about all this fun stuff.
And replay the show because we know that you really enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. And beg for a webcam because honestly, the only thing funnier than listening to this would be seeing it. Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Tim. We'll see you later. Be careful
thanks
down there at the Capitol and that insanity.
And we take you out with the Bellamy Brothers, who we welcome to town at the Cascade Theater tonight here at KCNR Shasta Redding.